Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Penny Peep Show.
A mysterious invitation, an unknown host, 10 strangers trapped in a remote mountain lodge. Ms. Delphine Diamandis.
I could spill everyone's dirty little secrets if I so wished.
Colonel Lionel Gale.
I've survived wars. Whatever foolery this is holds no fear for me.
Miss Holiday Howard Hudson.
Lay a finger on me and I'll kill you.
Mr. Grayson Kent.
I won't let anything get in the way of my having a good holiday.
Mr. Petey Reed.
I always get mine. Get in my way, and you'll get yours.
Mrs. Peggy Parker.
I've got a brick, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Mr. Dmitry Volkov.
I'm good with sword. Would you like to see my sword?
Mrs. Veronica.
Buckle up, boys. We're in for a hell of a ride.
It's a case for the celebrity private investigator, Mr. Montgomery Griffin.
Someone did something to someone for some reason.
And his sidekick, Miss Sydney Sparrow.
And we are going to crack the case.
Two. Dead. Eight remain. Finding the killer will be a process of elimination.
Sid, the door.
Of course.
All done.
Mr. Reed got his dying wish, not to be questioned by the police.
And Miss Diamandis has some company.
How nice for both of them.
We just leave bodies here in snow?
Doesn't seem very respectful, boss.
We can store them in the refrigerator if you prefer. You can look them in the eye every time you make us dinner.
Do I still have to do that, boss?
Lord knows she can't multitask. So I suppose I'll see to my own aperitif. But these are the sacrifices we make. Who'll join me?
I'll not have a pair of...
It's a drink!
Oh, yes, I drink!
Of course you do! You're Russian!
Oh, that's right!
Mr. Kemp?
Well, I usually would have a jog around the block and a glass of ice-cold water before dinner. Exercise regime, you know?
I'll take that as a yes!
You do recall that someone just died midway through necking a bottle of aperitif, don't you?
Only the scotch!
Always feel better after a drink. And enough feeling better and I don't feel anything at all. Let's see what we have.
I find that good sharp slap sort most people out.
Grandmama.
What's this? Vermouth. Vermouth, Miss Howard Hudson.
I'm fine.
Oh, come now. Vermouth is made with herbs and roots and such. It's practically a health drink, and it pairs well with an olive and gin.
What are you talking about?
A martini. Do you fancy one, darling? I'll be sticking to champagne, but there isn't enough to go around.
There's a whole bottle.
Your point, darling.
Aren't you worried the liquor is poisoned?
That's just a scotch, darling. Here come the boys. Anyone for drinks? I'm serving oliveless martinis.
And I'm serving good sharp slaps.
We were just talking about something before dinner.
That's what they call me. What are we eating?
Yes, Miss Sparrow, what are we eating?
You know I'm not the maid, don't you?
I know that someone has to cook me dinner, or by Jove, I shall go into that kitchen and do it myself.
I'm not opposed to that.
Would you like us to pitch in, Miss Sparrow?
Yes. I can put some fruit in a bowl, or dangle a piece of bread over a fire. I could even turn those little buttony things in the front of the stove.
Turn the knobs.
Is that an invitation?
Settle down, the lot of you. Sid will make us all dinner.
Ugh.
Before the drinking begins... I said before the drinking begins.
Don't mind me, darling. Just wetting my mouth.
You'll want to be sober for your questioning, Ms. Veronica.
I shouldn't imagine so.
Are we still doing those?
Two people are dead.
The victims of a bold, vicious, merciless, probably young and female killer.
I'm not the killer.
You did threaten to kill Mr. Reed.
I threatened to kill everyone in the room. He just happened to be in the room at the time. Besides, he threatened me with a gun.
He threatened everyone with a gun.
Everyone threatened everyone with a gun.
Wait, who has a gun? gun?
I take mine with me everywhere.
Just in case I get the urge to practice.
A woman never knows when she might have to defend herself.
Mine's barely a gun. A pea shooter, really.
Just the standard revolver, boss, as per usual.
So everyone brought a gun?
Absolutely.
Well, I didn't.
You brought a sword.
That's right.
Young people, so obsessed with their weaponry.
You'd prefer we wielded bricks?
Then together we could have built a small house.
We can't have a brace of firearms rattling around the house.
Not when we're all trying to enjoy our holiday.
And not when there's a murderer among us.
Oh, yes, that too.
Everyone go get your weapons. I shall place them securely under lock and key.
Is that really necessary?
Two people are dead, Colonel.
Are you going to answer my question?
This is still my investigation, and you'll do as I say.
Should we trust the investigation to a detective who watched a man drop dead in front of him?
He is Montgomery Griffin. He's the man who figured out who brained that eavesdropping schoolgirl with that ornamental doorstop.
Thank you. One of my finest cases. Sid would attest to my swift action and decisive reasoning if she hadn't also been brained by an ornamental doorstop.
Non-fatally brained, of course.
But brained nonetheless. Where was I at the time?
With the victim's mother.
Ah, yes. Sweet Imelda. I really thought we had something special. If only she hadn't been horrifically traumatized by the affair.
Hand over your weapons, everybody.
Yes, get rid of your guns.
And your bricks.
What?
Abandonnez vos bricks, madam. Tonight, you shall be brickless.
Well, really?
Of course, we'll hand over our weapons, darling. It's the least we can do. Oliveless martini.
Yes, all right. There we are, safely under lock and key.
I'm not entirely comfortable with a pile of guns just sitting in the study.
Where would you prefer I put them? The lounge? The kitchen? Stashed under each other's pillows?
As a military man, I've had some dealings with armaments. Perhaps
I'm not going to entertain this quarrelsome attitude. I am the investigator and the decision has been made.
So what now?
Dinner.
Oh, I'm not sure, I'm hungry.
I'm the investigator and the decision has been made.
In the dining room. Dinner comes to an end, and the conversation turns to the subject on everybody's mind, murder.
Is everyone finished with their dessert?
An excellent meal.
Those chickens were exceedingly small.
It was squab.
I'm not interested in your excuses.
Now I suggest an early night.
Why is that necessary?
Two people are dead.
Oh, so I've heard.
There's a murderer amongst you. Yes, bedtime and locked doors is the most sensible. Or would you prefer splitting up to puff cigars, sip brandy and be picked off one by one?
You suspect the killer might strike again.
Once a murderer, always a murderer.
Well, yes, it's a constant state of being.
Surely whoever did it has gotten it out of their system. Going to bed straight after supper doesn't really feel like a holiday.
And I was about to pop the cork on another bottle of champagne.
I think we should do as Mr. Griffin says. After all, two people are dead.
It's been mentioned.
Some of the party need time to recover. I'm sure Miss Howard Hudson could do with a lie down, finding a dead body and having another sprawled across her lap. If you need a shoulder to cry on, Miss Howard Hudson.
I'm more interested in finding the killer.
Or perhaps your investigation has run aground and you're hiding behind the frail constitution of women.
It'll take more than a few terminal French exits to put me off. Bubbles, anyone? Mr. Kent, I'm sure I can tempt you.
Go on, then.
And I can offer you champagne as well.
Shame on you! Shame on all of you!
Me, shame. Not my style, darling.
Two people are dead.
As is firmly established.
The least we could do is show them some respect.
Why do you care, Grandmama? You didn't like them.
I don't like anybody. But decadent meals and drinking to excess? I'm ashamed of the lot of you.
Even me, Grandmama.
I saw you have a second helping of dessert holiday.
It's true.
I saw you all have second helpings of dessert.
I didn't. Very creamy, much heavy.
Well, Mrs. Parker, that's quite the sobering brick you've hit us with.
I think you all deserve a brick right now.
An early night, then.
Out of respect, yes.
And then we can hear what our esteemed detective has planned for the investigation over breakfast, which will be, one can only hope, something normal.
And by normal, you mean a full English.
Well, yes! Why have all that European frippery when you can have bacon and eggs?
In Dutch, the word for bacon is speck. Isn't that funny?
I look forward to sharing the next step of my investigation in the morning.
And we look forward to hearing it.
I look forward to you hearing me, Chef.
And we look forward
to... Let's just get an early night.
Oh. All seems quiet in Lockerbie Lodge as midnight approaches. A brickless Mrs. Peggy Parker is roused by a quiet yet invasive sound.
Who's there? It's the middle of the night. Is that the door? Holiday? Is that you? Is that a man? Don't come in! I have a brick! No, I don't! Damn them for taking my brick! Leave me alone! And don't come in or I'll...
The lounge, close to midnight. Ms. Veronica descends into the belly of the lodge on a journey of unknown intent.
Miss Veronica?
Colonel Gare?
What can you be up to?
Oh, I didn't see you there.
I was smoking a cigar and drinking a gin in the dark.
I didn't have you down as a gin drinker.
It was a desperate situation. Someone may have poisoned the scotch.
I was after champagne.
That doesn't explain why you're fully dressed when we were told to have an early night.
Well, darling, there are plenty of things one can drink in a negligee. But I'm of the opinion that champagne isn't one of them.
Disgraceful.
High praise, Colonel. Besides, why aren't you in those rather fetching striped pyjamas I saw you in this morning?
I can't be expected to go to bed sober. It's an unreasonable request.
I couldn't agree more. So, unless you're intending to poison me with cigar smoke...
I'm just here for the gin.
And I'm just here for the champagne.
Then, bottoms up.
Darling, let me finish my champagne first.
Oh, disgraceful.
Upstairs, the ongoing sounds of a disturbance wake Miss Holiday Howard Hudson from her sleep.
Grandmama, is that you?
Holiday!
What time is it?
Holiday!
Grandmama? What's going on? Where are you?
That's what I'm saying. Who even were these murder victims?
A caustic gossip columnist and some sort of unspecified working class thug.
And now they're dead. Is that really a crime?
They were murdered, so yes. Two crimes, one for each of them.
And now we have to contend with this Griffin fellow.
And perhaps you should be our investigator.
Me? Why should I wish to involve myself?
I have no idea, darling.
Mr. Griffin is very welcome to the investigation. Do I think myself smarter than Mr. Griffin? Capable of greater deduction, more highly educated, and altogether more experienced in the world than whoever this Griffin chap is?
Is the question, do you think yourself all those things, or are you all those things? They may have different answers.
Who's that?
Hello.
Hello?
The Russian.
Mr. Volkov, darling.
Why is everybody having party?
No party.
Just drink.
Oh, as long as no murder, yes?
I'm just here for the gin.
I'm just here for the champagne.
And I'm just here for toilet.
Bottoms up.
Help me, Holiday.
Grandmama?
Holiday.
You're not in your room.
Holiday.
I'm coming, Grandmama. But where? Grandmama? Grandmama?
I've got rum, I've got vermouth. There's the scotch, but you'd rather be taking your life in your own hands. Ah, darling, just the thing. Vodka. You like vodka, don't you, darling?
Of course he does.
I don't know. Bowels are squeaky tonight.
Then look, I've got just the thing. Creme de menthe.
Creme de...
It's mint. Soothes the stomach.
Oh, I like that.
Then grab the bottle and take a seat. Budge up, Colonel.
I don't know about this.
Why ever not?
This staying up and drinking malarkey is starting to feel less an act of rebellion and more the done thing.
Come now, darling. You can't resent anyone having a little drink.
And Belly is very sore.
And his belly is very sore.
Ugh, I don't know. If any more guests drop in, this really will be a party.
Old woman?
Where'd she come from?
The world at war. Two lives in the balance. Who will live to see another day? The leader of the free world or a man falsely accused of treason? In this new dramatic audio series, A Date with Death, Helen Meeker has to make that choice, and time is running out. Assigned to exposing an espionage ring operating on American and British soil, Helen must outwit bank robbers, avoid booby traps, and even have dinner with a dead man. When the date with death is over, who's picking up the check? Ace Collins' best-selling World War II novella, A Date with Death, comes to life in this production by the Long Highway Players. Available on Acast and coming soon to a podcast feed near you, A Date with Death is a proud member of the That's Not Canon podcast network.
Hello, friends! Creator of the podcast, Kieran here. Thank you so much for getting halfway through episode 3 of A Process of Elimination. I do not have any feedback from my dad on this one. I asked, but he immediately changed the topic to the new Jurassic Park film. He hasn't seen it, so I'm not sure why. But if you've got some feedback, I'd love to hear it. Not enough Jeff Goldblum? Lax Park security? Justice for Nedry? What are your Jurassic Park opinions? There are lots of ways to give them to me in the episode description. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Thanks again for listening. Bye.
Following Mrs. Peggy Parker's fall to her death, Mr. Griffin, Mr. Volkov, and Colonel Gare force open her locked bedroom door to take a closer look at the crime scene.
We're in.
I told you we could do it. Sword is good for many things. It Jimmy Dore, it cut vegetable, it poke fire.
Shall we search the room for clues?
What do you think I'm doing?
Are there any cigarette butts? Torn off scraps of notepaper with a cryptic message.
Something written in victim's blood.
Very good, Russian. Anything like that?
No, nothing. Just the open window. Using your sword to open the door was a good idea, Mr. Volkov.
Oh, thank you.
But now I must confiscate it for security purposes. Hand over your sword.
All sword is hand sword.
I'm going to lock it away with the other weapons.
Is sword weapon?
Stop hiding behind your terrible English and give that sword to Mr. Griffin. This is perhaps the only sensible step he's taken in the whole investigation.
But I use sword for show. I flip, I slide down banister, I cartwheel and catch and tease.
This is my show now, and there will be strictly no swords.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, grief. Sorry when I'm upset.
Light a match then, damn it!
And now the sword is safely locked away. If any of you are murdered, it won't be by sword.
How comforting, darling.
Now, I have a few follow-up questions regarding Mrs. Parker's unfortunate...
descent?
I was going to say demise.
I've told you everything!
What more is there to ask?
For starters, why is Mr. Kemp shirtless?
Calisthenics, just before the terrible event. You know, push-ups, dips, squat thrusts, that sort of thing.
Oh, thrusts, you say? Perhaps some sort of reenactment is in order. For investigative purposes only, of course.
No, he needs to put a shirt on.
Agreed. Honestly, I've known African bushmen more prone to shirt wearing.
Can we focus on my grandmother's murder?
Don't upset yourself, Miss Howard Hudson.
I'm not upsetting myself. And if I were upsetting myself, I've every right to upset myself. My grandmother was pushed out a window. Someone, one of you, did that to her. And fine, I'm upset about it.
Have a drink, darling. Take the edge off.
Haven't you taken enough of your edge off?
Quite, darling. I'm all curves by now.
I want whoever did this hanged. Hurry up your investigation, Mr. Griffin, or I'll lead one of my own. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to splash some cold water on my face.
I'll have your drink for you then, darling.
Say to go and keep Miss Howard Hudson company.
Yes, boss.
Does that girl seem the sort to swap sob stories in the ladies' room?
No, but she does seem the sort to swear bloody vengeance whilst looking in the mirror, and I'd rather she do that supervised.
Perhaps we could avoid bloody vengeance if we got off this bloody mountain.
Would that were an option, but with the snowstorm raging, it simply isn't safe to ride the cable car.
Would a pair of skis help?
Do you have a pair of skis?
I do have a pair of skis.
For what purpose?
For the same reason that Mr. Volkov brought his sword. I'm an Olympic skier. We're on a snowy mountain.
For what purpose do you have them in the immediate incident?
I'm sorry, I don't know what he means.
Don't look at me. I have no idea what goes on.
Darling, he wants to to know your plans for the skis the next, say, hour.
I see.
And Mr. Volkov, darling, 3 people have been murdered. We want to find out by whom, and we are currently discussing means of escaping this house.
Oh, I see.
Everyone caught up.
Thank you, Miss Veronica.
Always a pleasure, darling. Now, Mr. Kemp, I believe you were telling us all your plan for your skis.
I was suggesting that I take my skis and use my skis to ski, get this, off the mountain.
You'll die.
A sound plan.
I'm not against it.
It wouldn't be an easy ski. It would require perfect balance, good athletic health.
A pair of thighs that could crush walnuts.
Certainly, they come in handy. But it just so happens, and I don't mean to brag, that I'm quite good at skiing.
And do you intend to ski shirtless?
Oh, no. I'd put on appropriate winter apparel.
This plan gets better by the minute.
Yes, very good. Off you go, and on goes your shirt.
Oh, but shouldn't his glistening torso be admitted to evidence?
While I'm away, could someone have a word with Mr. Pointy?
Who?
Mr. Pointy, the stag head. He's fallen off the mantelpiece again in all the fuss.
Shirt, now.
As you say, Mr. Griffin.
And I must say, I think you're all acting with spectacular recklessness.
What are you speaking of? We're all wearing shirts.
I'm not talking about the skis. The only other means of leaving is the cable car, and I've told you, it simply isn't safe in this weather.
Perhaps if we had the least idea as to who shoved that old lady out of her window, Mr. Griffin.
No, it wasn't me.
Do you have a notion as to who it was?
I'm still at the information gathering stage.
Come now, man. 10 strangers, 3 of them now dead, a third of the troops killed in action? That should elicit some sort of response from the field marshal.
It would if the scouts would accurately report their position.
What?
I'm saying that it's difficult for me to work up a proper case when I'm consistently lied to. I believe some of you observed the movie posters around the house on the first night here.
Yes. Curtis and Lee present whatever. Crawford and Lee present something else.
Loved lovers loved. She took it with her. And the third one, just there. Moore and Lee present ahead of her time.
Oh, I'm in that one.
You're in all of them, darling.
I am? Oh, good for me.
The Lee in those posters refers to Turnerly, the murdered filmmaker. You are all, in your own ways, connected to him. And yet each of you claims ignorance of the man.
Come now, darling. Everyone fibs in their own way.
And what are you lying about, Miss Veronica?
Perhaps you'd like to enlighten us as to your relationship with Mr. Peter Reed.
No, thank you.
What is your relationship with Mr. Peter Reed?
Why, none at all, darling. He's deceased.
Then what was your relationship with Mr. Peter Reed?
The deceased.
No more double talk. What was your relationship with the deceased?
He was a business partner of my husband.
And a business partner of yours since your husband died. I should be clearer, since one of your husbands died.
Dreadfully boring and hardly worth mentioning.
That Mr. Reed was your business partner or that you have multiple deceased husbands?
Witty comeback, darling.
And that's not all, is it, Colonel? What about your career, your post-military career?
A tedious subject.
But would Betty Faye Wanderer agree?
Oh, she write book.
Books. There's more than one book.
No. But a book on shelf. Lockaster. I read it.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. Reading is greatest pleasure beyond sorts. When I come to overseas, I was not speaking English, and I have no teach.
Teacher.
So read. And one day I read, and I think this makes sense. And I keep reading, and now I speak perfectly English.
You mean to say that you taught yourself English?
That's right.
I am so sorry, dreadfully sorry that I judged you so harshly.
You judge me?
Not anymore. I'm bloody impressed. I went to school with chaps who have a smaller vocabulary, and their only excuse was that they played rugby.
Oh, for Christ's sake, none of this matters. What matters is this murder investigation. My murder investigation that I am in charge of.
Maybe you shouldn't be. If I were in charge, I would prioritize survival. Get out of this damnable house, back to civilization. Let the police sort this out. Hmm?
Is this mutiny?
A sensible plan. I could get behind it.
It's a good plan.
It is a good plan.
It is a good plan?
Well done.
Oh, thank you.
In the bathroom. Miss Sparrow supervises Miss Howard Hudson, splashing water on her face in an effort to shrug off the evening's distress.
You're taking it well. I'd be blubbing by now.
I'm too angry to blub. I want to get whoever murdered Grandmama.
Don't worry on that front. Mr. Griffin is very good.
Is he?
He's solved a tremendous amount of cases, including the one with the... There was this bridge game, and a mustachioed foreigner, and a lake I almost drowned in. The boss cracked it in the end, and it'll be the same this time. Hopefully without the drowning, but you can't have everything.
Three people are dead.
The bigger the body count, the more famous the case, the boss always says.
What a ghastly assessment.
Of course, he's rather off the boil at the moment, ever since the Turner Lee case.
Turner Lee, a name I can't escape.
Turner Lee's murder wasn't one of the boss's cases. The police caught the criminal in record time.
Did they?
They did. That actress, Isadora Fortune, was seen at the crime scene, had a motive, and had evidence stolen from the scene. Besides, I doubt that's the real reason the boss has been so glum.
Oh?
Turner Lee was about to make it big in Hollywood, and he wanted to make a movie about the boss. Even lined up producers for the boss to meet. No chance of that now. The boss has been morose ever since.
Now he's back on the case, isn't he? He keeps mentioning it, at least.
True enough.
Has he told you?
He tells me nothing, but that's the job, really. I'm to marvel and gasp when he pulls the sheet back on the elephant and it's magically turned into an arrested murderer.
Is he a vain man, Mr. Griffin?
Oh, yes. But he always says that a man must have one vice.
Oh, and here's me thinking it was arrogance. Or women.
Two competitive runner-ups.
As I said back at the house, if it were safe to travel by cable car...
If it were going to blow over, then it would have done so years ago, surely.
It's perhaps worth the attempt.
Is better than skis, yes?
No.
Seems that conversation was moot.
Someone has smashed up the controls! The mechanism! All the buttons and levers and such!
We're trapped!
We were already trapped.
We're trapeter!
Close, but no conjugation.
Someone doesn't want us leaving this house.
Someone doesn't want us getting to the authorities.
And that someone is murderer.
A murderer. And who knows what they'll do next?
Gosh, don't you all look startled? Anyone for a spot of skiing?
The reconnaissance party returned to the lodge to find Miss Sparrow and Miss Howard Hudson waiting for them.
You've been outside? Why on earth?
We came out of the bathroom and you were gone.
Where did you go, boss?
The peanut gallery.
There's a gallery up there.
No, I was merely witness to all of yours' discovery that the cable car controls were smashed up.
Precisely. It seems that whoever has been killing people also killed the cable car, perhaps with the intent of killing us.
How thrilling.
How alarming.
How dreadful.
And on a holiday. It really is a shame.
Sorry.
Light a match.
I'm still prepared to give the skiing a go.
You'd be skiing off a cliff in a blizzard in the middle of the night.
I don't mean to blow my own horn, but I'm rather good on the slopes. And in the given circumstances, seems the only thing I can give.
I've seen you in a towel, Mr. Kemp. You've got plenty to give.
Do you want to die?
Me?
Certainly not.
No, I was threatening this insatiable harlot who cannot keep her googly eyes to herself.
Do I want to die? Maybe just in petit peu.
Now that escape has proven impossible, dare I to assume I am back in charge? Any objections?
None from me.
Of course not, Mr. Griffin.
Good, because I, for one, have had enough of all this chicanery and obfuscation.
What is...
lying.
That's right. Lying. And someone here has been lying about a murder.
The murderer, of course.
No.
Did the murderer confess?
No, stop. Let me speak. This case is inexorably tied to another murder.
What is inexorable?
Can't deny they're linked.
You've seen the posters, you've heard the name. But now it's time to talk about the murder of Turner Lee by the actress Isadora Fortune.
Are we cracking the case?
We're going to talk about the case.
Go on, boss. Say it. It's time to crack.
Do we know anything of the Turner Lee case?
You all know something. And they who know the greatest are none other than Turner Lee's producers. Curtis, Crawford, and more. It is they who can shed light on this whole sorry affair. Can't they, Ms. Veronica?
I didn't know, darling. You tell me.
I would postulate that they can. Mrs. Curtis, Crawford, Moore.
Postulate?
I'll tell you later.
Process of Elimination featured the voices of
Jacqueline Osorio as Ms. Delphine Diamandis,
Andrew James Spooner as Colonel Lionel Gare,
Rhiannon Marshall as Miss Holiday Howard Hudson,
David Moss as Mr. Grayson Kemp,
Matt James as Mr. Peter Reed,
Catherine Jones as Mrs. Peggy Parker,
Stephen Jobson as Mr. Dmitry Volkov,
Lucy Clough as Ms. Veronica,
Kieran Davey as Mr. Montgomery Griffin,
Rosie Williamson as Miss Sydney Sparrow,
and
Dan Pye as the narrator.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.